From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. What will the future of legal marijuana in Washington State look like? Doug Fine might have an inkling. He's an investigative journalist who studied Mendocino County, California, the first county in the nation to decriminalize and regulate cannabis farming. Doug Fine has written the book Too High to Fail, Cannabis and the New Green Economic Revolution. Doug joins us today from Las Cruces, New Mexico. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure to be with you, Russ.
So how did Mendocino County come to decriminalize marijuana and regulate cannabis farming?
Well, it was an economic emergency. They absolutely had to do it because the sheriff was being told that he had to lay off 7 deputies and cut $500,000 from his budget. He knew what the local crop was, what the local economy was. But the county is so progressive that, you know, if it was any more progressive politically, it would be clothing optional in the supermarket. So they went ahead with this legalization plan that was very sustainable. And that has me excited in terms of Washington's future, because if they follow a model like the Mendocino model and allow outdoor cultivation, Washington is in good shape from an ecological perspective, which is important to me as a father.
And Washington State did, in their revised regulations, allow outdoor growing of marijuana. That had not been in the original regulations. But I want to find out a little bit more about how it worked there in Mendocino County. There is medical marijuana allowed in California, so that wasn't an issue. But, of course, this is still considered a illegal drug by the federal government. Did their move to regulate cannabis farming there cause them any issues with the state or with the federal government?
Not with the state, but yes, with the feds. So what happened was they decided to permit 99 plants per farm, and they thought that would be sending a respect message to the U.S. Attorney for Northern California, Melinda Haig, because sentencing minimums kick in for cultivation of 100 plants on the federal level. And they charged farmers who were going to grow 99 plants, this is the county of Mendocino, $8,500 per farm for 99 outdoor plants. Some of these could be 10 pounds of flowers per plant, which is the marketable commodity. And those farms could gross in the neighborhood of $500,000 or more. So it was a sort of a win-win situation for everyone. 100 farmers decided that they wanted to be above-ground taxpayers, and they joined this program. They called it the Zip Tie Program because the sheriff came and tied these bright yellow bracelets around all the plants and inspected the farms to make sure that they were following certain sustainability guidelines, plant number guidelines. And it was an absolute unmitigated success on the state and local level.
Well, let's talk more about how legal cannabis farming affected Mendocino County. Was that sheriff able to hold on to his deputies?
Not only did he raise Sheriff Tom Allman, he's kind of a big hero in the area now, registered Republican, twice elected. Not only did he stake his career on this happening, and there were some famous exchanges with the local county government at first that thought they were telling him he lived in a pipe dream. Not only did he raise the $500,000 he promised, he raised $600,000, so he gave the county a $100,000 tip and saved the 7 deputy positions. Interestingly, the fellow who administered the program for Sheriff Tom, named Randy Johnson, which Seattleites are probably wondering if that's their pitcher's new former pitcher's new gig, but
not
no,
so.
It's a different Randy Johnson. He told me after 27 years on the force, the reason the Zip Tie program was so important was not the 7 deputy jobs that it saved and the model that it set up for sustainable cannabis cultivation. But more than that, it was the entire community that represents $6 billion just to the county economy, 80% of what's on paper, one of the poorest counties in California, that an entire community was coming into the law-abiding fold, calling in for power lines down, domestic violence calls, home invasion, and he thought that was the real value he saw sort of nationwide when this drug war wraps up on the federal level.
Now, great economic wealth from a commodity does not guarantee that all will share. You can look at many countries that rely on oil or mineral wealth, and they suffer from corruption and inequality. How has that played out in Mendocino County now that they've got this big infusion of cannabis cash?
You know, that's a terrific question, Ross. I actually volunteered at the Willits Food Bank when I lived in Mendocino County, and they were already seeing more infusions of donations coming in now that people were less afraid to say who they were. And, you know, since they were paying taxes, too, they didn't mind having tax deductions. But the other side of that, of course, is not everybody in Silicon Valley, you know, not everybody who lives in that part of California benefits from the high tech. From the high tech industry, let's say, in their job, but everybody does benefit from the tax breaks. In this case, it was the immediate increase in public safety in the county, and the fact that people were able to be public about what they were and what they were doing with their, you know, how they were paying their kids' college tuition, basically, that was changing what had been for several generations kind of a paranoid climate. And even the black market farmers that I met when I lived there for that year researching Too High to Fail said that they believe that the time is now to come above ground with federal prohibition ending, and they were glad to see the sheriff implement a plan that you know, they consider to be fair.
We're talking about what Washington State might look like next year when the era of fully legal marijuana grown, processed, and sold in stores in our state takes place. We're talking to Doug Fine about that because he studied Mendocino County, California, the first county in the nation to regulate cannabis farming. He's written the book Too High to Fail, Cannabis and the New Green Economic Revolution. So as we've legalized marijuana here, there are still a lot of questions that have arisen, and I want to ask you a little bit about how they've been resolved in Mendocino County. One is, should the system allow big companies to dominate the business, or should it overtly try to keep that from happening? Has big cannabis pushed out small farmers in Mendocino County?
Russ, I'm going to answer that one from a high altitude, no pun intended, because I believe Wall Street is going to do what it's going to do state by state. In essence, Washington is very brave, and I congratulate Washington voters for leading the way, leading the nation into the drug piece. It's having a kind of a Berlin Wall down effect worldwide in drug policy, what Washington, Colorado voters said very clearly last November vis-a-vis the America's longest war. But big picture, it's going to be very difficult to get Wall Street not to do what it does. So the analogy that I give.
Doug Fine, are you still with us?
Be really influential in the corner store space, let's say, when we get to that level of retail sales nationwide. But the farmers that brand themselves, that have what Michael Pollan calls supermarket pastoral, a nice story, you know, here in the hills of the Cascades, we're a family-run farm that's been, you know, cultivating cannabis for three generations or whatever it is, that the same folks who look for organic food in their food co-op, Whole Foods, farmers market, CSA, they're going to start wanting to know the storyline behind where America's number one cash crop comes from. So the small farmer is also going to be able to benefit. The other side of this is tourism. The farmers that I followed in the Emerald Triangle know very well that Napa is a multi-billion dollar marketing brand, and so they've started to brand themselves as the Emerald Growers Association because of tourism. So they're saying, get ready, Ross, for the bud and breakfast.
Doug, one of the other concerns here is ensuring that the marijuana grown legally here doesn't end up in the illegal market in other states where it's not legal. How did Mendocino County deal with that?
The fact is, the vast majority of cannabis that's grown, as long as federal prohibition is in place, is going to be black market or gray market. California as a state isn't complaining too much. In fact, the Democratic Party of California yesterday explicitly established a platform calling on President Obama to stop federal harassment of the state cannabis program. And that's because they're taking in $100 million in dispensary sales tax per year already. The fact is, the way to stop black market diversions, the way to stop organized crime, is to end a prohibitionary economy. Albert Einstein said it in his very, very first visit to the U.S. He took one look at prohibition and said it's all it does is enrich criminal organizations. And that's the same situation we're faced with today. Diversion's going to happen when something is more valuable than gold. And until we get a handle on that, meaning until we get cannabis out of the Controlled Substances Act on the federal level, it's going to happen. And that's why my journalistic view, as well as that as a voter and a father, is that needs to happen sooner rather than later, because criminals do not ask for ID.
We're at 206-543-5869. If you've got a question for Doug about what happened in Mendocino County and how that might reflect what will happen here, it's 800-289-5869. Now, what about the testing of cannabis, not just for potency, but also for safety and purity? How do they do that in Mendocino County?
It's a really important part of the process because the model in Mendocino, the zip tie program, as it was known because of those bracelets each plant wore issued by the sheriff, the model is explicitly a locavore farmer model. And the plan, had the feds not interfered, skipping ahead, spoiler alert, to kind of a sad thing that happened at the end of the season, is instead of going after criminal cartels, the Northern District of the U.S. Justice Department, Northern District of California's office and the DEA raided these kind of Chamber of Commerce members, sheriffs going to their birthday party farmers at machine gun point, and threatened the Board of Supervisors of the county government with federal conspiracy for creating a job-creating, crime-reducing, cartel-herding, locavore sustainable, ecologically sustainable program. So there is kind of a sad part of it, part of that story. But the plan, had the feds not interfered, in addition to the fact that this program would have spread to several other counties, we're saying this has worked so well, we're gonna implement it too and start raising some much needed revenue from our number one crops here. But the phase two plan for the emerald growers there in Mendocino was to create centralized flower trimming facilities, which would increase security and create payroll and jobs, but also, as you mentioned, allow for testing facilities to come in and not only test for strain uniformity. If there's a particular strain that's been found to be helpful, let's say for Crohn's disease, making sure that that's always coming from the same genetics, but also test for things that you want in the plant, such as the cannabinoids. Those familiar with the recent advances in medical cannabis science will know that we're talking about the chemical components of the plant, some of which are being proven in, you know, very mainstream studies to have a lot of medicinal value, but also for things that you don't want in the plant, for molds and mildews. So that at that first year that I covered, they were using a University of California Davis professor's company called Hallett Labs was testing for these things you do want, the cannabinoids, and the things you don't want, the impurities. But they were planning on centralizing that facility, creating local jobs, and believe it or not, Ross, using the unusable stalks after harvest to ferment for local energy source through ethanol.
They're even talking about that for jet plane fuel here. I don't know how far that's going to go, but using that byproduct. You know, another question that the federal government certainly has raised in regard to Washington State, and it's a big concern of people here in the state too, is how to ensure that more accessibility of marijuana for adults doesn't make it easier for kids. Was that an issue in Mendocino County during this period?
Well, it's an issue for me as a journalist and a father, and I'm happy to report that while worldwide studies on places that have legalized totally, like your Portugals and parts of the Netherlands, and medical places on medical studies in medical states in the U.S., have mixed results in terms of what overall adult social use rates will be. Some have slight, and the operative word is slight, increases, some slight decreases. But every single study worldwide, including a recent multi-year, many thousands of youngster subjects studied in out of Brown University in New England medical cannabis state, shows that youth use rates go down with legalization. And this doesn't really surprise me, because I give a lot of talks at schools, and kids say, you know, it's easier to get cannabis now than alcohol. It's never been easier. So I think once the allure of the forbidden fruit goes away, once it's regulated for adult use, I think that it's we're going to see that. We're going to see in Washington and Colorado lowered youth rates. And I'm really encouraged by Washington's mode of going about this. I think that the state is really entering into this in the right spirit, where there's a bit of foot dragging by the current administration on the Colorado side, kind of doing what we have to do, checking with the feds at every level. Whereas Washington, I think, says if we're going to do this, let's do it right. And that's what Mendocino did, too. It had really top to bottom support in the county, including the district. County prosecutor was fully behind this legalization effort there.
Hey, Doug, thank you so much for talking to us today. I really learned a lot.
Thanks for having me, Ross.
Doug Fine's book is called Too High to Fail, Cannabis and the New Green Economic Revolution, based on his reporting from Mendocino, California, Mendocino County, California, the first country to decriminalize and regulate cannabis farming, at least for a time. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds.